Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we've been looking at some episodes from the life of Elijah, the prophet, and we have stressed repeatedly that Elijah was a man just like us. And yet, when you look at his life, it's not your average life. It's not just typical of how most of us spend our days. And you say, well, yeah, I haven't had those kinds of miracles in my life. Well, you also probably have not been hiding in a ravine, having to depend on God to airlift food to you because the ruler of your government was out to kill you. That's not the part we want to sign up for, is it? We want the miracles without the obedience and without the suffering, without the opposition, and that's not the way it works. Jesus said we should expect opposition. He said we should expect persecution. And so, if you want to sign up for the good stuff, the fun stuff, the amazing, miraculous highlights, you have to live day by day in obedience to the Lord. And a lot of times that means sitting down in a ravine waiting for God to provide. But he does. For Elijah, he did it twice a day. Now we're going to move ahead from where Elijah was running from Jezebel, and then the Lord sent him back. And we'll pick up the story. There are several other things that happened, but they're more about events that happened in the life of King Ahab. We're going to pick up the story in chapter 21, because here we'll find another interface between wicked King Ahab and the righteous prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 21, this is God's word. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it's worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters she wrote, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. And also, concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Let's look at three questions, if you will. First of all, what did Ahab do that was so bad? Well, I mean, he did all kinds of bad things. He was a wicked, wicked man. It says toward the end of this chapter, there never was a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. Now this is, I mean, that's an indictment. It's saying this guy wasn't just bad. He was uniquely bad. He was extraordinarily bad. And at the center of what he did that was so awful was idolatry. Putting something else in the place of God. Devoting himself to something other than the Lord. You and I were made by God with a purpose. Our lives are to be devoted to him. We are warned in the New Testament, keep yourselves from idols. We're not just talking about statues. We're talking about things, appetites, whatever, that take such dominant place in our life that everything has to be around that. Back when we were in New England, one of the young people in the youth group that Mrs. Wood and I taught came to us in tears. And she said, I don't know what to do. I know I'm supposed to obey my parents, but I know that I should obey the Lord. And my parents have told me that because they want me to be on this athletic team, I'm not going to be able to come to youth group and church because they think that I really need to be a part of this team. So I went to the dad, and I, who, by the way, was a deacon. I went to the dad, and I said, your child is very concerned. Well, this is a temporary thing. It's not like she never gets to come back. But during this season, she is a vital part of the team. And when the coach says that this is what he needs from the players, then I want her to be a part of that. Why? Why? Sports, for a lot of people in our culture, are God. That's what people are more excited about than they are about the Lord. Okay? We're very well behaved and reserved and sophisticated in church. But when we go to an athletic event, there's worship going on. Okay? That's where people's hands are in the air. Maybe you can even get the wave going. All kinds. I mean, oh, and they come home hoarse from shouting. Reminds me of the prophets of Baal. But in any case, at the heart of Ahab's wickedness was his idolatry. And we see an example of how that plays out because idols can't satisfy. We see an example of how that plays out in his sin of covetousness here that resulted in the death of his neighbor. He saw his neighbor's vineyard and thought, that would make a nice place for me to have a vegetable garden. I'd like to have a vegetable garden, back to the land, you know? I mean, I may be a king, but I'd like to have that patch of ground right there, close to the palace, as a vegetable garden. So he went to the man, and he made what he obviously thought was a very fair offer. I'll pay you what it's worth, or I'll swap for another piece of land that I own, okay? I can give you a vineyard that will be an equivalent value. But God had told his people that they were supposed to hang on to the land and pass it from generation to generation. So Naboth said, no. God forbid. I'm not going to pass on my father's inheritance to you. Everybody knew that Ahab was a scoundrel. Well, Ahab couldn't stand to be told no. Just really, if he didn't get what he wanted, ruined his day, and he couldn't find pleasure in anything else. He goes home sullen and angry, and he goes to his room, and he doesn't want to talk to anybody, doesn't want to see anybody, doesn't want to do anything else. He just lies in the bed. And He is determined to wallow in his misery. He didn't go back and say, well, okay, I'm not going to have a vegetable garden there. Let's see, where else could we put a vegetable garden? He had land. There were other places, but he had decided, that's what I want. Let me tell you, anytime you think you've got to have something you don't have, you're in trouble already. Okay? And coveting that which belongs to another is something that God explicitly forbids. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You just don't do that. God says don't. Don't covet this. He gives a list. Or anything else. Don't covet. But there are a whole lot of people who, if they can't have what somebody else has, then they're just miserable. And when they're miserable, they want other people to know they're miserable and hope that it'll make other people miserable too. I know that none of you have ever been guilty of that, I'm sure. You're all such wonderful, mature, well-balanced, godly people that you would never act that way. Well, King Ahab did. His wife, Jezebel, who was worse than he was in many ways, was the one who encouraged him in all that idolatry. And when she finds out what he's upset about, she says, this is no way for a king to act. I'll get you the vineyard. I'll show you how a man behaves. I'll make this happen. And so she writes letters in Ahab's authority, seals them, sends them, and what she does is conspiracy to commit murder. And it works. I love the fact she says, seat a couple of scoundrels across from him. What is she saying? Find some bad actors. You know people who are liars and who will happily lie, okay, even if it's going to cost somebody else their life. There have always been people like that. There still are. And they'll lie and they'll say it with great conviction and they'll do what it takes in order to hurt others with their lies. Be very, very careful who you believe, who you listen to.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, plan worked. Naboth is taken out and stoned to death. The dogs lick up his blood. What a tragic end. Did he do what he was accused of? Not at all. Did everybody know that? Certainly. I mean, it wasn't just those two guys lying. It was other people who brought them in to lie. And they are referred to as the nobles. The fact that somebody's in a position of power does not make them noble. Never forget that. So, God saw the whole thing. Why didn't he intervene and protect Naboth? I don't know. But he didn't. He let Naboth die. Well, I don't think that's fair. Well, no matter how wonderful Naboth was, all of us are going to die. And by the way, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we meet with our end, we really can't say, unfair! If God was just fair, we'd all go to hell. God is kind. God is merciful. And dying, please get this, dying is not the worst thing that can happen to you. At the end of the day, most people would say, Ahab came out on top. Naboth was the one who really lost. No. Naboth was much better off having been killed through injustice than Ahab was getting the vineyard through injustice. So, second question is, what did Jezebel do? Well, she encouraged sinful behavior and engaged in murder and theft. That's horrible, isn't it? But here's the point. God saw the whole thing. He always sees. He sees everything. If you think that you're getting away with something because no adult saw you, because your spouse didn't see you, because your neighbor didn't see you, because the police didn't see you, if you think you're getting away with something, you are sadly mistaken. God sees it all. God knows everything about all of us. And so what we should be concerned about is, what is God's view of this? He did, Ahab, what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 25. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. So, when he received the word of the Lord, he says, I'm going to bring disaster on you. I'll consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. And the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, they're going to lick up your blood, Ahab. That happened. If you read on, you're going to find that that is exactly what God brought to pass. And not by a good guy either. God lets bad people kill bad people. God lets bad people kill good people. But when we say good people, we're speaking relatively, because all of us ultimately are sinners. And as Jesus reminded the rich young ruler, only God is good. So, what did Ahab do right? Verse 27, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Shock. This is a guy who is arrogant and all about himself and in the past has not shown respect for the word of the Lord. Now, when he hears the word of the Lord, he humbles himself. And God sees that too. God not only saw the sin, God saw the repentance. Look, verse 28. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Key phrase, before me. Some people humble themselves outwardly, but God can see that they're not humbling themselves at all. In 1 Corinthians 13, which many of you have memorized or are memorizing, it talks about if I surrender to my body to the flames, okay, I give away everything I have, surrender my body to the flames, but I do it in order to boast. That's not love. Well, it's not humility either. Ahab humbled himself before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord, and God saw it and wanted to be sure that Elijah saw it, and then he sent Elijah with a message. He says, I will not bring this disaster in his day. In other words, he's still going to die. Dogs are still going to lick up his blood. Jezebel's still going to be eaten by dogs. The descendants are all going to be killed off. But God says, but I'm going to wait. I'm not going to do that while he's alive. His descendants getting killed is something that'll come in his son's lifetime. Well, that's not much of a reprieve, but it's still amazing grace. It's still mercy. Because Ahab didn't deserve that. After all the stuff that he'd done, all the blood that had been shed, and yet, God saw that he received the word and humbled himself. So what's the main point today? The main point, God sees everything. So humble yourself in his sight. Humility is recognizing God is the judge. That God is the one to whom we will give an account. If you humble yourself before the Lord, we're told in the book of James, he will lift you up. Humility comes before honor. The pride goes before fall. I implore you, look to the Lord. Be concerned about what he's seeing and do what is right in his sight by God's grace.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.